My name is Dan Shapley. I am the Water Quality Program Director for Riverkeeper. And Riverkeeper is an environmental organization devoted to protection and restoration of the Hudson River and its tributaries and safeguarding of drinking water sources in our region.
To my understanding, Riverkeeper has been protecting the Hudson River for over 50 years. And according to its mission, it uses law, community science, and a grassroots boat patrol to promote its advocacy. So where does community science play into this?
Well, community science is really one of the pillars of our work these days, and it's the part of the organization that I work on most closely. So we both work with scientists at universities to make sure we gather good water quality data. And then we work with community members who are interested in understanding water quality where they live, in the streams and the creeks that flow near their homes. And of course, who are interested in improving that water quality. So we engage over 400 in a typical year, we'll help to sample over 400 locations with partners and individuals throughout the Hudson River watershed. So from the high peaks of the Adirondacks down to New York Harbor, and from Utica and Rome in the western reaches of the Mohawk River on out to where the Mohawk River flows into the Capital District, right across from Troy. We look to sample water quality throughout that to really try and understand some important patterns about where water is or is not safe for swimming, and where we can gather other data that's also important. But the basis of the whole project is to kind of understand where and when it's safe for swimming, what factors influence that, and to engage people in advocacy to protect and restore water quality. And what I always like to say is that every sample taken is a vote for clean water, and the power that comes from community science is really in part the data, but it really is in large part the people who gather that data.
So you mentioned you make sure that the water is safe for swimming. So what sort of things are you testing for to make sure it's safe?
Most of our tests are built around what's called a fecal indicator bacteria called Enterococcus. We look for that not because the bacteria itself is harmful, but because other pathogens that can make us sick are likely to be present when we find this bacteria. That's because this bacteria is not typically found living in open waters, except it is there because it is associated with human sewage or the waste of another warm-blooded animal. So if it's in the water, other viruses or harmful bacteria can be associated with the indicator bacteria, and it's indicating that there's a potential for other pathogens to be present that could make us sick if we're swimming or engaged in other kind of recreation.
Okay. And so I've heard that you just started your water sampling season. Has this been impacted at all by the coronavirus?
It has been, yeah, we've been in some ways significantly affected, and in other ways we're continuing on. So our boat captain, John Lipscomb, is completing his first round of sampling on the Hudson River, the estuary itself, so that 150-mile stretch of the Hudson from New York Harbor up to Troy is a tidal estuary. It rises and falls with the Atlantic Ocean tides. And from our patrol boat, he gathers samples at 74 locations. So that is continuing, and we do that in partnership with Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory and Queens College, which is a City of New York school. And our projects that we had been doing to engage community scientists to gather data from throughout the Hudson River watershed are right now suspended because of a couple reasons. One, we're not 100% confident that there's no risk to people, going to the water's edge where there might be a heavy sewage impact and grabbing a water sample. We really want to make sure that we can be 100% confident we're not putting volunteers at risk in that act of sampling. And then number two is we want to make sure that we are adhering to all of the social distancing guidelines that we have in our state and in our communities to make sure we're, again, not putting ourselves at any risk of exacerbating the pandemic. And then the third factor in suspending that for the time being is that we partner with a lot of universities, and in many cases, if not all, those partners can't access their labs because of their own campuses being shut down or heavily restricted right now. So it's a, in some ways it affected us pretty dramatically, and in other ways we're able to continue on.
So mostly John still continuing, and but a lot of the other volunteers along the Mohawk and Hudson sort of suspended for now?
Yeah, the volunteer component, but I should say that a staff team from Riverkeeper, so without using any volunteers, we're going to fan out on the Upper Hudson and along the Mohawk River to gather data from many of the sites that we would otherwise have been sampling with our community partners. So we really want to continue as much as we can to maintain this long-term data set, because we're starting, one reason is we're starting to see some longer-term trends. And in fact, they're worrying trends. We're seeing a decline in water quality in some places, in many places, year over year, when we would hope to be seeing just the opposite, given the state's investments in water infrastructure over the last few years. So we really want to continue as much as possible to maintain that data set so we can, over time, really understand both short-term and long-term factors that are affecting our water quality.
It makes sense. That you would want to protect the volunteers because you said some of these waters can, in some cases, become contaminated with human sewage, and that the coronavirus has been found in human fecal matter. So is there any way to really know, though, if there's coronavirus in the water? Can you test for it?
We certainly can't test for it directly, not with the equipment that we maintain, but it's an opportunity that we seek with partner universities, scientists at other universities who have those capabilities. So we're very interested in this question because there's a lot of good research that shows that, quote unquote, standard treatment of sewage, which includes disinfecting that sewage before it's discharged to water, will kill the virus and should kill the virus. And there's growing body of research that indicates that's the likelihood. But we also know that in the Hudson River, particularly, we have sewage overflows of untreated sewage every time it rains. And the Capital District is an example of a part of the river particularly affected by those overflows. And we also have treatment plants that aren't all required to disinfect their effluent. They go through other stages of treatment, but not that use of chlorine or UV light to kill pathogens before discharge. So we do want to be assured that that risk of this particular virus is or is not associated with that untreated sewage that unfortunately still reaches our waters. So that's our main concern, and that's the nature of the partnerships we're seeking with university scientists to try and do our part, our small part to gather data if we can to help to answer those open questions that we have.
Great. And so we've heard word that you're partnering with the Sanctuary for Independent Media on some of this water quality and water justice in a new project. Is there anything that we could hear about that?
Sure. I can give you maybe a little preview. I think there'll be more information coming soon, and we're very, very excited about this project. We had started by working with the Media Sanctuary as it's building out its nature lab and establishing ways for the community to get involved in soil, water, and air testing that can support environmental justice projects and in support, communities seeking environmental justice who are unduly burdened by problems with soil, air, and water. And so we're helping on the water part of that, and we plan to be able to provide the same equipment to the sanctuary that we use to measure that bacteria I was talking about. We had planned for all of the samples from the Upper Hudson River, so between Newcomb in the High Peaks down to Troy, to all come to this media sanctuary and sort of have that be the hub for processing those samples this year. With the pandemic, we've kind of put that on hold, but we, in the meantime, have developed a really exciting project that will produce a lot more radio content. Well, you, all the listeners will be hearing a lot more about, you know, sort of stories at the intersection of water and environmental justice throughout the Hudson River watershed. So we're really excited to get that going, and you'll be hearing more about it in the coming weeks.
I'm excited to hear more, and I'm glad to hear that even during this pandemic that Riverkeeper's doing everything it can to protect citizens who enjoy the water for leisurely activities and are concerned about their health. So thank you, Dan, for everything you do, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Spencer. I really appreciate the chance to come on and talk to you.